It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We want to see something happen with DACA. It's been spoken of for years. And children are now adults in many cases.
We are very disappointed by the decision, but what we heard yesterday at the meeting was we're all committed to finding a deal. So a permanent solution is actually to the benefit of all the current DACA recipients, and that's what we'll pursue.
The ruling in last night in no way diminishes the urgency of resolving the DACA issue. On this, we agree with the White House, who says the ruling doesn't do anything to reduce Congress's obligation to address this problem now.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Those were familiar voices just commenting on this negotiation on what to do about immigration. Of course, the left and many Republicans want what they call comprehensive. Lindsey Graham certainly does. That means he wants to legalize all the people that are here. He wants a solution that would create a ton more American citizens. Oh, we've got a, sorry, my microphone just fell down. Oh, okay, so I'm just going to have to hold it. How about that? All right, so there are lots of thoughts about this, and so much has happened in the last 24 hours, and I want to tell you about some of them. You know, remember the border crossings in 2014? Remember how we had an invasion? And remember millions of dollars being poured into these so-called Christian charities that were building these expensive facilities, schools, just unbelievable amounts under President Barack Obama. We had MS-13. We had criminals coming across, and the Border Patrol was, you know, changing diapers. You remember, you do remember that. Well, that was because of President Obama's declaration about, you know, his absolutely unconstitutional declaration that there was something called Dreamers. He's the one that dreamed up that name that made it sound so positive. So the Dreamers were allowed to invade. And then he found a way, he declared that they could stay legally. All right, so then there were more people that crossed the border. So guess what's happening now? Because of this discussion in Washington on legalizing the 800,000 Dreamers that thought they had temporary status because the president, as in Trump, decided to sort of put a freeze on this. Now, because he's indicating he doesn't want a freeze on it, and because you heard the negotiations, you heard what many of them said in their meeting just 2 days ago, border crossings are doubling. Why are they doubling? Because they're getting the word down in Central and South America and Mexico that if they can get here, they will be allowed to stay and be legalized. And so this is what's happening. We are in the process of adding millions more to the burden of the American economy and a burden on our children and our kids, their dreams, forget it, because we're all concerned about so-called dreamers that President Obama was intent on bringing in. So there is where we are, but I want to give you some good news and bad news. President Trump repeated in the last 24 hours his insistence that any permanent deal to codify DACA had to include funding for a border wall. Of course, the Republican leadership laughs about that. Oh, it's not necessary. Border wall is not border security, but a wall is not necessary. Walls never, you know, secure anything. Well, ask Israel about that because they built a wall and it has worked beautifully to keep their enemies from crossing over and doing harm in the country of Israel. I think Israel's maybe as tiny as it is one of the safest places really on the globe right now. I know that sounds strange, but I really think that's true. And part of it is because of their wall. And so the president has drawn a red line. And you might remember, I alluded to this, but I want to repeat it, that a Center for American Progress memo was leaked to the press. It was leaked to the Daily Caller. It was co-authored by Jennifer Palmieri. She's the former White House Director of Communications and the Director of Communications for the Hillary Clinton 2016 presidential campaign. But let me read this memo, at least parts of it, to you. This time, Democrats need to stand with Dreamers and do whatever it takes to ensure they remain in this country. Democrats should refuse to offer any votes for Republican spending bills that do not offer a fix for Dreamers and instead appropriate funds to deport them. Now, if they are so concerned that Dreamers be legalized, do you think there might be a reason? My understanding is that it's, of course, not just the 800,000 so-called Dreamers. I even hate to use that word. It's people who came here illegally, and they are not necessarily children. And many of them are gang members and criminals. They aren't all, but some are, because there was no vetting. They just crossed. They came in. They were invaders into this country. But I digress. That if this law is allowed to pass within the current status, there will be at least 2 million more people coming in because of their families and family members. And, of course, chain migration will probably allow more than that. And the costs are astronomical. But to go back to this memo, it says Latinos are a critical part of the progressive coalition, and progressive leaders have to step up and fight for them. Then it goes on to say, if Democrats don't try to do everything in their power to defend Dreamers, that will jeopardize Democrats' electoral chances in 2018 and beyond. So, wait a second. I thought Dreamers were not citizens and they couldn't vote. But, of course, we know that the Electoral Integrity Commission has been disbanded, and we know that some people everywhere on both sides of the aisle are pretty happy about that. We know that even some Republican governors refuse to cooperate with that Election Integrity Commission to give their voter rolls. So what's going on here? You fill in the blanks. I think you already know. So I want to tell you a couple of other things, because besides the fact that now the southern border is being invaded again, this is a really interesting letter that went out from the Peter Kersenow, who's the commissioner for the United States Commission on Civil Rights. And I want you to hear a little bit about what he wrote. He sent this to Senator Lankford. It appears that a significant number of senators and congressmen continue to favor amnesty without a wall. It is important to reemphasize a rarely discussed effect of granting legal status or effective amnesty to illegal immigrants. Such grant of legal status without serious, robust immigration enforcement will likely disproportionately harm unskilled American workers, particularly lower-skilled African-Americans, by making it more difficult for them to obtain employment, depressing their wages when they do obtain employment. The increased employment difficulties will likely have negative consequences that extend beyond the economic sphere. He goes on, he gives lots of statistics about African-American employment and the effect of illegal immigration on their employment. He gives the numbers, the stats. He talks about how this contributes to the incarceration rate when they cannot find jobs. And so he's trying to emphasize, he said, a border wall in and of itself is only part of effective immigration enforcement. But contrary to assertions that a wall will not do little to stem illegal immigration, the recent example of Hungary shows that border barriers work. Prior to the construction of a wall bordering Serbia, the number of migrants entering Hungary was 391,000. After the wall's construction, that number dropped to 18,000 and just 1,184 in the first half of 2017. Now, that's Peter Kersenow writing to Senator Lankford in Oklahoma. I think that's really interesting. I also want you to know that there's a really good bill from the perspective of people on the inside that's being offered by Bob Goodlatte, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, along with Michael McCall. And that's nice, because I rarely say anything nice about Mike McCall. But Congressman Mike McCall and Congresswoman Martha McSally, I rarely say anything good about her either. But I have to say that for some reason, maybe by accident, now Bob Goodlatte is much better on this than they are. They have proposed what's called the Securing America's Future Act. It's H.R. 4760. And it looks to be a really strong bill. It provides for border security, ends chain migration, increases immigration levels for skilled workers. It creates a workable agricultural guest worker program to grow our economy. It provides for visa security. I could go on and on. It's a very long list. But, in fact, we should put this on our Facebook page so that you can see it. And also, I want to refer you to Numbers USA. We'll put that back on our Facebook page again today, because Numbers USA is the largest grassroots organization fighting against the lack of border enforcement and immigration enforcement broader, more broadly than that. So we'll put that back on, and you can weigh in through Numbers USA if you agree that we need to do something about our immigration bills. One last thing, Stephen Miller, who was the chief advisor to Jeff Sessions on immigration when he was a senator. Senator Sessions, how many times did I play clips of his great speeches on immigration? And Stephen Miller was his researcher, and now he's a senior advisor to President Trump. So there's a long complaining article written by McClatchy about how Stephen Miller is standing in the way of an immigration deal. I don't have time to read it to you, but they're really grumbling. They are so upset with Stephen Miller. And it's kind of funny to me. God bless Stephen Miller. He's trying to do everything he can. He's only one man, but it kind of demonstrates to you what can happen if you have the right people in place. Another big news story, Sarah Carter, who is one of the most trusted researchers on the Fusion GPS, the Trump alleged collusion with Russia scandal. And Sarah had an announcement last night, and this is what it sounded like.
I have spoken to a number of sources, one senior law enforcement official and another in the DOJ, and the dossier was absolutely used as part of the FBI's ability to gain a warrant to basically spy on members of the Trump campaign. We know, coming from the mouths of members, senior members of the FBI who testified, both Comey and McCabe, that the only part of the dossier that they were able to confirm that was actually factual was that Carter Page had actually traveled to Moscow. Everything else in the dossier, apparently they did not talk about that. They did not confirm. There are a number of sources that are alarmed about this, particularly people within law enforcement who are concerned that they were using this dossier to find a way to look into the Trump campaign.
That is an amazing story. I mean, we've been chatting about this and speculating about it, but now we know that this dossier, which is just a tabloid piece of garbage, I read portions of that to you months ago when we started talking about this. And I remember telling you right up front, this sounds like trash. This sounds like pretend. This can't possibly be true because it was so over the top. It wasn't that I didn't think Donald Trump ever did any, you know, misbehaved or did anything wrong. It wasn't that. It was the way it was written. It was outrageous. It was silly. It really was like reading the National Enquirer when you're waiting in the grocery store line. And so now we know that it really was, in fact, garbage and filled with unverified accusations, alleged sources that were paid by those preparing the dossier by Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele. It just is amazing. Now, we know that Fusion GPS has now admitted that they used John McCain. They did. We know that he was used. We know that he's the one who handed the dossier to the FBI director, Comey. But now we know more about this. And yeah, he was all about it and all about making it happen. The thing we don't know is if John McCain knew that it was paid for by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton camp, because that would be pretty damning. So people are trying to find that out. Just in my inbox moments ago is an interesting article from PJ Media, which I haven't even had a chance to read. We're going to put this on our Facebook page, though, because it's called Five Things to Know About Fusion GPS's Sordid Past. And I just read a few of them, which I'll share with you. One of the things is that Planned Parenthood produced, remember those videos on selling baby body parts produced by David Del Iden? Well, Planned Parenthood produced a forensic, quote-unquote, forensic report claiming to prove the videos were manipulations. And guess who wrote that report? It was Fusion GPS, the same organization that was paid to prepare this ridiculous tabloid dossier against Donald Trump that the FBI then used, knowing that it was ridiculous. If I know it, they knew it. They took it into court and used it as a reason to surveil, to wiretap Donald Trump and his family and his campaign. It is such a scandal, I can't even begin to tell you. And so that's what we know today. That's the latest. Today we're going to open the phone lines. I fixed my mic. Isn't that good news? Today we're going to open the phone lines and just chat about so much of this. The phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's some great News. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program that's been around for 25 years, and they have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $1 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money. Think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have a lot to offer? Well, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
Grover Cleveland became our 22nd president after serving as mayor of Buffalo, New York, and governor of New York State. In his inaugural address in 1885, he wrote, "And let us not trust in human effort alone, but humbly acknowledging the power and goodness of Almighty God, who presides over the destiny of nations, and who at all times has been revealed in our country's history, let us invoke his aid and his blessings upon our labors." In his bid for re-election, he lost in the Electoral College, though he had a slight edge in the popular vote. He ran again and won. In all of this, his faith seemed to remain strong and consistent. How about yours?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The University of Denver may have to come up with a new mascot. Native American students say the Pioneer's nickname is offensive and must be replaced. They say the word pioneer represents genocide and oppression. The Native American Student Alliance says the word is also associated with westward expansion. In 2013, the university retired the Denver Boone mascot, claiming it was a polarizing figure. Denver Boone, much like Daniel Boone, was a beloved character among students and alumni. So the question becomes, what kind of mascot would not trigger the emotionally sensitive college kids? So far, the university has not commented on the matter. The Native American students did not offer any suggestions, but it might be good for the university to steer clear of anything related to Indians, Braves, or Redskins. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, you know we're right in the middle of doing what we can to help preborn. Preborn, of course, is an organization that provides ultrasound to pregnancy centers around the country and other things as well. And the ultrasound, as we have said, and I will repeat because it should be repeated, that something like 80% of moms, young moms, who actually are able to see the image of their babies say it's a baby, and they're watching it move. It's just an amazing thing, and it is so moving. It does what's natural. It moves a mother's heart and stirs up their love, and then they just can't terminate the pregnancy. So 4D ultrasound has been an amazing thing. So preborn is in the process of trying to get ultrasounds to pregnancy centers. $28, by the way, provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And $140 will provide five. So you can do the math from there. If you would like to help just providing those ultrasounds, you can do that. Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go online to afr.net, and make your donation. We get lots of I always enjoy your email and Facebook posts. I do read them, almost every single one of them. I think pretty much all of them. Can't personally respond, but I do love to pull out some of them and comment on them on the air as often as I can. And we're going to do that today and also open the phone lines. By the way, if you would like to send an email, it's sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. And of course, the Sandy Rios in the Morning is our Facebook page. And our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let me do some Facebook stuff here this morning. This is from Christy. She says, she's talking about the last Friday show where we talked to the former executive for Blackwater, which is that private military contractor. It was a fascinating interview about how they're being sued, how about four of their guys are in jail. They came to prominence right after the Iraq War. It's just really, if you have not heard it, you need to hear that story. So Christy says, listening this morning, but wondering why private contractors were protecting diplomats. Shouldn't our military been doing that? Well, Christy, the story that you probably didn't hear was that right after the Iraq War, we had expanded our presence in the Middle East so broadly that there weren't enough military special ops to protect everyone that needed protecting. And so there was an urgent call that they needed 1,000, like immediately in 30 days. And no one could provide that. The military could not provide that, but Blackwater was already doing it privately for other companies. And so they had the resources and they had the connections. And so that's how that began. This is from Kathy. She said, I listen to your show every morning and I can tell you that you are so depressing. After your show, I feel like we are all doomed. I'm not going to listen anymore. It's too depressing. So negative. So, Kathy, honestly, you're probably not listening. But just in case you are, I'm actually surprised I don't get more email and communication like that, because I agree with you. I mean, it's pretty dreadful, the things that I'm reporting, and it's a steady stream. You know, things are pretty bad right now. They really are. And it's a burden to be a person who knows this stuff. It's a burden to take on the burdens and cares of the nation. It's a burden to take on, like if your neighbor has cancer, or it's a burden to take on other people's problems. But of course, the problems in the country are in fact yours, and they are mine. And so that's why I think it's important to be informed. But I have to say that we're not without hope. And if I fail to say that often enough, forgive me. Because we, as Paul said, brethren, I don't want you to be a people without hope. Those of us that absolutely acknowledge the lordship of Jesus in our lives know that there's much bigger thing going on here. We know that God is firmly involved in this. We know his character, and we know that he can be trusted. You know, the repeated phrase in Scripture about hope is that hope in God because of his unfailing love. And if you know someone has unfailing love, if you know your mother really loves you, you know that she's only going to do what's good for you. If you have a husband that loves you that way, or a wife, you can trust her. You can have hope because of their unfailing love. And it's the same way with the God that we serve. What does that mean? Well, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has a plan. A plan that is much greater than our country, much greater than certainly our lives. And we know that he's going to bring his plan into fruition. And we know that he will be victorious. So if I don't put it in context often enough, I do. I report this dreadful stuff. And I don't ever believe, Kathy, that we should not act upon this, nor do I believe we should be ignorant about it, as much as I'd like to be. Me too. I'd like to just play and enjoy my life. Could do it, but I just can't. I just can't. And I can't push out the concerns. You can't be concerned about everything, but this is what God has called me to do. And he's called me to tell you and to warn you and take precautions so that you're not caught unaware. Okay, so this is from Linda. Linda says, excuse me, I listen to your show every morning on the way to work. I love your perspective and insight. And this past weekend, I heard a very scathing interview with a former employee or contractor of Amazon. She described horrible working conditions and said that the CEO was a diehard globalist. And so she said, I was very happy using Amazon, but have suspended all orders since hearing about it. And if it's true, we should boycott, and I will cancel my Amazon Prime. And so she's asking me what I think. Now, Linda, the bad news is that Jeff Bezos, who is the CEO and owner of Amazon, is in fact, yes, of course, he's a globalist, and he's a leftist. He's not on our side. There's an article this morning that said he's worth in excess of $100 billion. He may be the richest human being that ever walked the planet. He also owns the Washington Post, which is the leftist newspaper in Washington. They're getting ready to do a movie, you know, with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep about how wonderful the Washington Post is. But I happen to know better. I happen to know that it did so much to disrupt and undermine the country in the 70s, and it hasn't really changed that much. And now Jeff Bezos is at the helm. Yeah, he's a bad dude. So what do we do about that? Kathy asks me, she says she needs a comparable service, a recommendation. You know, Kathy, there's no comparable service. I can't think of anybody who does anything like Amazon. I think, you know, the only recourse really is to go to individual companies for the products that you want if you need to order online and use their services. Almost everyone has an ordering service now. But here's the complication, of course. Google, we have to go through Google to do that. We communicate through Facebook. We communicate through Twitter. Some of you don't, but more and more people are doing that. None of those companies are our friends. They are operated by leftists. They push leftist principles. Even Siri, I've heard that little gal that speaks in your ears about the questions that you have, is programmed for answering questions in a way you probably wouldn't approve. You should try asking a controversial question of the little disembodied robot that answers all these questions for people in their homes and on their phones, etc., and you might be surprised. So what are we to do? You know, what are we to do? Can we buy and sell anymore? Can we go online anymore? What can we do? First of all, before I say this, I think it's admirable. I think it's probably a very good thing to not do business with Amazon. I haven't come to that point yet, so I'm just being honest with you because I use it a lot also. It's just convenient with a busy schedule. That's why you all do it. But I know that it's putting people out of business left and right, and we're contributing to that, and it's making Jeff Bezos an incredible powerhouse, and he really is a bad character, sort of like a George Soros-type character. So I think it's a good thing to stop doing business with them. And so anyway, I just haven't stopped to consider it, to be honest with you. But I think it's individual conscience, and I think if you know of any stores that actually do support conservative causes, value life, marriage between a man and a woman, you should absolutely support them. Do it in a positive way. Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, there's two anymore, I don't know, but we certainly should support them. And while we can, we should use Facebook, Google, Twitter, and all those outlets to spread the truth, both spiritual. Just all truth is God's truth, the truth about God, just truth in general. Just use it while we can before it comes back to bite us, because it inevitably will. I just believe it's going to. And by the way, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'll go to the phones in just a second. I want to read this from Ronald. He said, someone very close to me has two Guatemalan 17-year-olds as foster children. I think he's talking about kids that came over. I don't know. I'm just reading what he says here. They are handled by Veritas, which has been deceptive and abusive to the foster parents from day one. The boys were touted as being intelligent and bilingual, which they weren't. Neither boy can read Spanish proficiently, let alone English. And the two of them collaborate and manipulate at every turn. What's more, the one boy has health issues which have kept him from going to school and has put him in the emergency room repeatedly. In addition to the cost for both boys of interpreters, social workers who visit every week, and extra school staff for those with English as a second language, the medical costs for one boy have exceeded $50,000 in his first year here. And so that's just his anecdotal comment. I don't know anything about that, but I'm just telling you what he said. All right, if you have a comment, it's sandy@afr.net, afr.net, or you can go to Facebook, Sandy Rios in the Morning. Okay, phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Pete in South Carolina. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, Sandy. God bless you and love your show.
Thank you.
And just want to wish you a happy new year. You're awesome.
Thank you.
You make
thank
my
you,
day.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I was going to chime in on the Amazon thing. You know, I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism for three reasons. One is it provides for the right of ownership. Two, it provides for the ability for upward mobility. This is what makes a dynamic economy rather than a static economy. It's the engine of prosperity. And the third thing is a practical thing. Capitalism allows for the consumers, us, to get the best possible product and service at the lowest price. So all these things are beneficial to the general population, to every single individual. Capitalism is a beautiful thing. And another thing about capitalism is it engenders competition. And competition is a beautiful thing. It means everybody must try harder, do their best job.
Well, I agree with you. No, Pete, I agree with you, of course. There's a book.
Is Shady?
Yeah.
Let me just make one more point. But now that in this day and age, we need to incorporate another additional element, and that is where our money goes. So I will sacrifice getting cheap delivery of products or whatever. I will pay more and go to a local store. I will pay more because the local store will give me great service. But I'm not going to use Amazon. I signed the Target boycott. I will stay away from companies that will use my money to hurt me and to diminish my freedom. And that's my point I want to make about Amazon. But go on with your point, please.
Oh, well, no, there's a book that I really enjoy on this that lays it out. And I was just trying to find it and I just can't remember off the top of my head. I'll have to wait till commercial break. But it's a book that really is a very accessible kind of primer on what capitalism does. And it says much of what you said. I think that capitalism right now, the reason that people are willing to think negatively of it is that we have so much crony capitalism, which, as you know, is making people rich because of relationships. It's underhanded. It's unfair. It's not a free market. It is a rigged market. I'm not saying it all is, but some of it is, and that's why people get upset. But there's nothing wrong with accumulating wealth. Then, of course, as Christians, if we accumulate it, we are obligated to share it and use it. But there's nothing inherently wrong about that. And I actually think that capitalism is more biblical in its freedom of it unleashes human potential. And as you said, it creates wealth. And as I have said several times, actually recently, there is no limit to the amount of wealth that can be created. It's not a fixed pie, the amount of money available anywhere in the world. And so if someone is particularly creative and can multiply the money that they have, and remember, you know, you think of the parables in Scripture about investing and talents. It seems to me that God is indicating through those parables that he wants people to be productive and smart and creative in the handling of their resources. And so that's what capitalism allows us to do. Pete, thank you very much for calling. Very interesting comment, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right, I want to share one more thing with you. By the way, phone number is 888-589-8840. This is important. The budget deadline is January the 19th. And so I just want you to know that we have some really serious problems with this. In fact, Politico just reported last night that Republican leaders Mitch McConnell and others are considering skipping passage of a GOP budget this year because they're worried about the elections. And so rather than maintain their ability to use a reconciliation, which only requires 50 votes with the vice president breaking the tie to pass any legislation, they've just decided, it looks like they're going to decide to skip, to delay a budget, which is what they criticized President Obama and the Democratic Congress for. And so, of course, this all boils down to Mitch McConnell's cowardliness and Paul Ryan's. If they go through with this, I think it will be very damning to the 2018 chances. We'll put this article from Politico on our Facebook page so that you can read it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Sixth graders at Fox Chapel Middle School in Spring Hill, Florida, were surveyed concerning their comfort levels with the following scenarios. A friend invites you to a gay bar. At the gay bar, a person of the same sex invites you to dance. You find your teen brother kissing a boy. Your next-door neighbors are lesbian. Your mother comes out to you. The teacher, Daryl Cox, instructed the students not to tell their parents about the survey. Gratefully, one student told. But what if they didn't? This isn't education. It's indoctrination.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. Here's parenting expert John Rosemond, host of the American Family Radio program, Because I Said So.
My mission is to restore biblical, commonsensical parenting to a culture that holds children up as idols.
Join us for Bible-based parenting and family advice Saturday afternoon at 5 Central with John Rosemond on American Family Radio. It's Because I Said So.
Oh, and by the way, grandparents are welcome. They better be, because I am one.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central. On American Family Radio.
Here's Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
I think the most striking thing to me about the Bible is that it not only reveals God to me, it is God speaking to us, revealing himself to us, but in the process of teaching us about himself, he reveals so much about who we are. I often tell people that one of the ways that I know that the Bible is true is the way that it diagnoses my sin. I'm often reading through a passage and I'm thinking, this was written 3,000 years ago, and yet it perfectly diagnoses the state of the sin of my heart. The only way that can happen is if my Creator is actually the author of the book.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. You have to hand it to President Trump's insubordinate subordinates. When they are sabotaging his policies, they go all in. The latest example is the effort National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson are making to undercut Mr. Trump's stance in support of the freedom-seeking people of Iran and in opposition to their dangerous repressive government. Messrs. McMaster and Tillerson have reportedly joined forces with Senators Bob Corker and Ben Cardin, the co-authors of 2015 legislation that sabotaged the Senate's constitutional role in treaty-making and enabled the Obama-Bomb deal to become binding. Now, little Bob and his co-conspirators hope to flim-flam the president into believing they'll fix what he has rightly called the worst agreement ever negotiated. Mr. President, don't go there. Help the Iranian opposition fix the regime, rather than help the regime finish getting the bomb. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. We know that preborn centers have counseled over 270,000 women considering abortion, and over 48,000 babies have been saved, and 91,000 women have heard the gospel, and over 24,000 have surrendered their life to Christ. Those are pretty incredible numbers. Preborn, of course, is a pro-life organization that, among other things, provides ultrasounds to pregnancy centers around the country. And we want to help them raise money for these ultrasound pieces of equipment. And so if you'd like to help, $28 will provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And of course, when moms see these little babies, on these ultrasound, they just don't have the heart to terminate the pregnancies. It's pretty amazing. It's a God doing what he does best. By the way, $140 provides 5 free ultrasound sessions reaching 5 women. And our goal, by the way, is to help save 3,000 babies. So that's 600 of you sponsoring about 5 ultrasounds at $140. That's kind of the way it works. And so if you'd like to help, by the way, 100% of your donation goes directly to the pregnancy centers providing these ultrasounds. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 or donate online at afr.net. That's afr.net. Just a couple of things. By the way, I think we have, I'm not sure, shall we call them gremlins or we can call them other things. We're having some technical problems this morning. First of all, you know, my mic fell off the, just fell out of the holder, and it can't just be clipped back in like you see, it has to be like inserted in a groove and tightened up, and so I had to hold the mic through the first segment this morning, and it's not a small mic, it's a big heavy mic. So if you'd had a camera, you would have laughed at me. However, we got that resolved, but now we're having trouble with the phone lines. So some of you are getting through, but I'm just telling you, please be patient. So we're working on that right now. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And so I wanted to share with you a couple of more email. This is from Shane. He says, well, I've made the observation, and I didn't have to because you saw it yourself, that this is really the day when defamation, destroying people, just jumping on them and ravaging them is just amazing. And it's also disheartening to me to see how quickly Christians are willing to believe really horrible things. I don't know what that is in our nature. It's not just Christians. I don't know what it is in human nature that we rush to believe things that are not even necessarily true. And we're seeing that happen all over the place. We saw it with Judge Moore, and we're seeing Steve Bannon be ravaged right now. I'm not defending what he said in that interview or giving an interview, but that doesn't mean that everything he's ever done or said, you know, now he's just absolutely of no value in the human race. It's just amazing to me. So, given that, Shane writes, how can we support Jesus when he was accused of being a drunkard, a blasphemer, and even worse, of working with Beelzebub, that's Satan for those of you that don't know, innocent until proven guilty. Accusations are not always representative of moral character. I believe in supporting people in office or running until you have a factual reason to remove support. And that applies to everyone. We need to believe, you know, and I have the same problem. I'm not putting myself in a different sphere, but we need to be really careful about what we believe these days because we see how the game is played. And now that the left has figured out that they can destroy, and they've been doing this for a long time, thoroughly destroy conservatives by some of these accusations, man, they are like bloodthirsty hounds. And really, no one is safe. Really, no one is safe. I was having a conversation with a very high-level ministry leader not long ago who was kind of coming down on Judge Moore, and you know that I've defended him repeatedly. And I just said back to him, I said, you know this could happen to you. It could happen to you tomorrow. Everything that you have worked for, everything you have said and you have done and you have written could be destroyed in a heartbeat by someone that you've counseled, you've talked to, you've intersected with, who could accuse you of something. You will be destroyed. And you have to listen to this stuff with the understanding that there is mass destruction being attempted now against people of character, and you're not immune. And so I'm just saying, I think that's a very good point. Let's go to Eric in Arizona. Eric, good morning. How are you? Lucky you got through here. How are you this morning?
Sandy, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much for your show. I love your show. I'm a longtime listener. Every morning when I'm going to work.
Thanks, Eric.
I am a retired Marine and got my MBA at age 52. one of the groups that I was, well, thank you. One of the groups that I went to in my class did a report on Amazon, and this has been several years ago, and they missed entirely what I thought was very relevant, the fact that Amazon makes a ton of money through pornography, selling pornography. And it's easy to figure out, but that's now disappeared from Google. I did that on a Google search. Well, Google is, I mean, it's hard to find those articles anymore. And just for your listeners, there is another site. DuckDuckGo is now my Google. I don't use Google anymore. And it's a pretty wonderful site. I'm a kind of a tech guy, so.
Okay, so hey,
yes,
Eric, say that again. DuckDuckGo?
No, Duck. Like, D-U-C-K-D-U-C-K-G-O. DuckDuckGo.
Oh, my goodness. And, well, thank you for sharing that. And you say it's a good site, works well?
Yes, ma'am, it does. I've used it since I got really perturbed with Google.
Oh, I think we just lost Eric. Okay, sorry, Eric. But thanks. That kind of took us down a path that kind of gave me an opening to talk about something I wanted to share yesterday. And as a matter of fact, there's a clip that we used. Rob, did you find that clip that we had? All right, let's listen to this story, and then I'm going to embellish on it. This is happening to a Google employee because I want to talk to you about Google just for a second. Here it is.
Then they said, you know, you're terminated for perpetuating gender stereotypes.
In August, Google fired James Damore after he said, while trying to promote diversity, Google discriminated against white men.
They felt it was a challenge to the orthodoxy and it needed to be silenced.
Damore's memo, which went viral, suggested biology, not bigotry, accounted for gender inequity in tech.
People at Google are trying very hard to diversify the company, make it more welcoming to women and minorities, and so a memo like James did not go over well.
You're a misogynist and a terrible human, said one coworker. I will keep hounding you until one of us is fired. Expletive you. Another said, if Google management cares enough about diversity and inclusion, they should send a clear message by not only terminating Mr. Damore, but also severely disciplining or terminating those who have expressed support.
Jobs are being reserved at Google for minorities and women. That's illegal under California and federal employment laws.
Labor Department figures show 69% of Google employees are male, 56% white.
It's okay to disparage, smear, belittle, bully, discriminate conservatives and white men. That's not acceptable.
Filed as a class action, the suit claims liberal, politically correct attitudes at Google and throughout Silicon Valley silence conservative thought.
I found that to be an increasing complaint in Silicon Valley, especially after the presidential election. I mean, companies like Google and Facebook have historically had a really cozy relationship with the Democrats. They were very much caught off guard by the election.
Google said it fired Damore because he perpetuated a gender stereotype, and the company looks forward to defending itself in court.
That's interesting, and that's not even all of the report. It's James Damore is his name, Google employee. I mean, I think that most of you knew, right, that Google tends to be on the left? Well, it's really kind of shocking to read the details. This is a report that I had from yesterday. There was a meeting on March 30th of 2017. It was entitled Women's History Month. And Google brought in two presenters for this get-together. It was Ruth Porat, who was the chief financial officer, and Eileen Naughton, the human resources director. And during that meeting, they pointed out and shamed individual departments at Google in which women comprise less than 50% of the workforce. And they alternatively applauded and praised departments, such as the sales department, where women comprise more than 50% of the workforce. And then they said that Google will be taking into account gender and ethnic demographics. They mentioned that Google's racial and gender preferences in hiring were not up for debate because this was morally and economically the best thing to do for Google. Then in June, they had a summit called Diversity and Inclusion, and the same message was repeated. So now here's Damore, who's a white male. So Damore mentioned that it seemed like Google was elevating political correctness over merit. And he mentioned that to the human resources gal. She said to him, she responded to him that some of the political things at Google were a problem. They discussed how some Google employees with conservative views and values did not feel included. And Rao, the human resources person, mentioned how she and other HR representatives had received similar complaints from past employees with conservative views. Damore's memo, this is the conservative who is now suing, it went viral, was written in response to a call at the end of the Diversity Summit meeting for feedback on the presentation. So they have the presentation, they ask for feedback, and so he gives them the feedback, and then they have what they call an unbiasing group. And Damore expressed concerns at that meeting, and then he was laughed at the meeting. At the in-person training entitled Bias Busting, Google discussed how biases against women exist in the workplace and how white male privilege exists in the workplace. The training was run by the Unbiasing Group at Google, and there were approximately 20 Google employees present. Damore disagreed with this one-sided approach, and when he verbalized his dissent and his concerns with the one-sided presentation, other employees, including managers, laughed at him derisively. They considered his views to be conservative and thus flawed and worthy of disparagement. Then he was fired in early August, and then it goes on and on and on. The lawsuit, one employee, a manager, recommended creating a blacklist of people who make diversity difficult. So that's Google. That's the search engine that many of us use. That's the controls Gmail that many of you use. Just be known, just be on guard that it's not, they're not our friends. I want to repeat that Eric just told us that DuckDuckGo is a new search engine, and he says it's great. He's a tech guy, so we didn't get to ask him more about it because we got cut off, but that's what he's finding out. By the way, we're finding out that Google has a new fact check feature that almost exclusively targets conservative sites. And so, for instance, the Daily Caller has a whole article on this and how it misrepresents the things that Daily Caller is saying and indicates that they're not being truthful. But sites like publications like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times are even given a column showcasing all of the awards that they have earned over the years. So Daily Caller is disparaged and so-called fact-checked. These publications, New York Times, the Post, the Los Angeles Times, are just given accolades. So this is how it's coming down at Google. You just have to know. There aren't many places you can trust anymore. All right, let me see if I can get Mike in from Oklahoma. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I just wanted to chime in on the part about the capitalism. I like capitalism, too, but the crony capitalists have used illegal aliens. Workforce against Americans in our jobs. And, you know, if you don't have a balance with income and people paying their fair share of taxes and, you know, all the responsibilities that come with being a legal citizen, then it hurts the main workforce.
Well, of course, Mike, the opposite of capitalism is public welfare. It's, you know, giving out all of this money to illegal immigrants, to anybody, really, who's not working. Sometimes welfare is necessary because people really are in desperate straits. But when we're just handing out money like candy, that's not capitalism. I'm sorry, Mike just got cut off, too. We're going to get our phone lines fixed, and I apologize to all of you who've tried to call this morning and haven't been able to get through. There's one other story that I wanted to share with you that kind of goes along with the Google report that I just did. Facebook now is targeting conservative groups. We know they're doing it overseas, but now they seem to be doing it at home. And this particular story says that they've taken down what's called Warriors for Christ. It's a ministry out of Wisconsin. They have taken down their information because of what they've said about they oppose homosexuality and abortion. Facebook says that Warriors for Christ is violating its community standards on bullying and hate speech. Of course, I just talked to a German yesterday who was brought up for charges in Germany for posting, just simply putting a picture on Facebook that is the famous picture of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem meeting with a Nazi officer. And they said he was criticizing Islam, and so charges were brought. He was charged. They wanted to put him in prison for 4 years. I hope to have him as a guest in the next week or so, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.